that can be a powerful force for good, but it can also be, and often is, a very dangerous and destructive force. Many bad decisions have been made during times of anger. Many things have been said or done in anger that we wish that we could get back. We react too quickly. We say hurtful things. We say mean things. Sometimes we're nasty and insulting. And we have hurt and even ruined some relationships because of anger. And I know that I have expressed anger in ways that I regret. And I'm sure that you can say the same. And the reality is that when you and I get angry, we tend to sin a lot. It says in Proverbs 29:22, an angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. And so because anger is something that we all experience and struggle with in various degrees, I want us to consider this topic of anger for the next 2 weeks. And while there's no possible way for us to cover everything there needs to be said about anger in 2 weeks, I hope that we can begin to discover some truths from God's Word that can help us in managing our anger and help us to display and respond in the midst of our anger in a God-honoring, God-pleasing, God-glorifying way. Now, the truths that I share with you are certainly not my own. It's from various sources from reading that have shaped some of these thoughts I share with you today and shaped from God's Word. And so as we begin looking at how to manage our anger, I want us to consider two questions this morning that I believe can help us in managing that anger. And the first question is, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Anger is an emotion, and it's a secondary emotion, meaning that something has happened, something is going on that has caused me to start feeling angry. And so it's important for us to ask ourselves that question, why am I angry, in the midst as we're starting to feel that anger build in us? Because that anger is really sending us a message. It's really like a check engine light on your car. You know, the check engine light goes on and you don't say, oh, I need to bring my car to Norman's Auto Repair and have Ryan fix this light because this light's broken. I can't get this light to go off. It's on all the time. No, the light's not broken. The light's doing its job. It's telling you that something is wrong with that engine. And the same is true about anger. Anger is letting you know that there's something that's not quite right. Something is wrong. And that's why it's important for us in those times of anger for us to slow down and ask ourselves, why am I angry? Chip Ingram writes, to resolve anger, you'll need to identify the root reason for it. And there are a number of reasons for our anger. You know, we get angry when we're under stress and we're anxious. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're frustrated. Sometimes we're just plain hungry. You know, about probably 15 years ago, I saw a picture of myself. I thought, oh my goodness, I need to lose some weight. So I tried that South Beach diet. The only time I ever tried some kind of diet thing. And I lost some weight. But in the midst of losing that weight, I didn't realize how miserable I was making my family and acting towards my family. Now, I knew I wasn't the happiest person during that time period, but I didn't realize how I was acting out to my family. And so for the sake of my marriage and in my family, I now maintain a steady diet of cookies and ice cream, and things are much better. But we get angry when we're hurt. We get angry when we feel rejection. We get angry from disappointment, from insecurity. We get angry when we have unmet expectations. If you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, it's the story of Naaman, and some of you might be familiar with this story. And Naaman was the commander of the army for the king of Aram. And Naaman, it says, was a valiant soldier. He was highly regarded by his master, the king. But Naaman had leprosy. Now, it must have been a milder type of leprosy because he wasn't a social outcast. But he has this leprosy. Now, Naaman also had a Jewish servant girl who helped out his wife and took care of some of her needs. And so in verse 3, this servant girl is telling Naaman's wife this. She says, "If only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him the 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." So here you see a little miscommunication going. So the king of Israel starts to freak out a little bit here. He says, "As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a fight, a quarrel with me.'" And so Elisha hears about this, and he hears that the king is under this distress and has torn his robes. And so he says, "You know what? Send the guy to me, and he'll see that there's a true prophet in Israel." So in verse 9 it says, "So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, 'Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed.'" And you would think as Naaman is headed to Elisha's house that he has to be filled with excitement, that he's going to be cured of his leprosy. He's not going to have this anymore. And he gets there, and Elisha sends his servant out and tells him, "You know, just go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and you're going to be great." You think he'd be excited. But verse 11 says, "But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over my spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and he went off in a rage." And Naaman was upset. Naaman was angry because he thought this whole thing was going to play out differently. He thought that Elisha would surely come out to meet him. He said, I expected that he would surely come out and stand and call upon the name of his God. He thought he was going to do this fancy prayer, you know, wave his hands over this stuff. He had it all played out on how he expected it to go. And when it didn't happen the way he expected, he became angry. And we at times get mad when our expectations are not met. Maybe our expectations concerning your job, maybe your marriage, maybe your parents, maybe expectations with friends, maybe expectations that you put upon yourself. But when our expectations don't match what actually happens, we sometimes get angry. We sometimes get mad. And so that is why it is so important for us, when we find ourselves starting to feel angry, to ask ourselves the question, why am I angry? But a second question that we need to ask ourselves that I believe can help us to manage our anger is to ask the question, how do I know if my anger is good or bad anger? Is this anger I'm experiencing a good anger or a bad anger? Sometimes some think that anger is always something that is wrong and bad. But anger, again, is an emotion. And in and of itself, it is neither morally good or bad. It's not wrong or right in and of itself. Anger certainly can be bad if we are angry for the wrong reasons, and if we respond in the midst of our anger in an inappropriate way. But anger in and of itself is not a sinful. We see that anger isn't always wrong by the simple fact that God himself becomes angry. The psalmist says, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. When God comes and appears to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, and he goes and he appears to Moses and he says, "Moses, I've seen the misery of my people and I'm concerned for them, and I'm sending you. I'm going to rescue them through you. I'm sending you to them." And Moses keeps making these excuses, and Moses kind of feeling, I don't think Moses is all that confident in his ability to do it. And he says, "God, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe that you sent me? What if they ask me your name? What am I supposed to say? I can't talk very well at all, God. Send somebody else." And finally in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "The Lord's anger burned against Moses. So he says, all right, I'm going to send Aaron, your brother, with you. All right? I know he can talk well. So he sends him. But God experiences anger. As a matter of fact, Gary Chapman made this statement in his book that the Bible often indicates that God experiences anger. The word anger is found 455 times in the Old Testament, and 375 of these refer to God's anger. And we see in Exodus chapter 32, where the people have made the golden calf. And God says to Moses, now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, that I'll make you into a great nation. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now the people had complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. In Numbers 32, it says, the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the desert 40 years, until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. And God experiences anger. We see that Jesus experienced anger. We read in both Mark chapter 11 and John chapter 2 of the time when Jesus cleared out the temple, when he was angry at those who were selling things and turning the temple into a marketplace, so that he overturned the tables and the chairs and he scattered the money of the money changers all over the ground. He got a whip together and got the animals out of there. And Jesus experienced anger. You see, there's these two types of anger. There's this godly, righteous anger, and then there's sinful anger. And we notice these two types of anger in even the writing of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So that you can have this anger that is not sin. And the New American Standard puts it, be angry, yet do not sin. So there's this anger, this righteous anger that we can have that is not sin. And that's the type of anger that God has. It's a righteous anger. You know, when God sees injustice, when God sees evil, when God sees people being hurt by other people, he gets angry. Gary Chapman states, anger is God's logical response to injustice or unrighteousness. And again, anger can actually be a powerful and positive motivator. You know, it can be a healthy emotion that motivates us to correct attitudes and behaviors and injustices. When David heard the cries of Goliath and the things he was speaking against God and his people, he got angry and he did something about it. The reality is that maybe you and I actually need to get angry more often. But what we need to get angry about is the things that make God angry. If you see someone being mistreated, my anger over that should motivate me to do something about it. If you see someone at school being bullied or made fun of, it should bother you enough that you go and to the authorities and find help and you do something about that. When have you gotten so angry at an injustice that you did something about it? But listen, even if your anger is justified, even if you're angry about those things that anger God, you still must respond in a right way, in a way that honors and pleases God. You know, when I was younger, you know, and the whole abortion stuff was going on, some people, and again, a small group of people would in their anger over the abortion going on, they would actually bomb some of the abortion clinics. That's not the proper response that God wants. But starting a place like CareNet, that is. So anger can be wrong, bad, depending on the reason for our anger, and depending on how we respond in the midst of our anger. And the reality is, though, that for us, when we experience anger, it's usually that sinful anger. It's that sinful anger, or our sinful response to even justifiable anger, that Paul is referring to when he writes to the Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. He says, get rid of it. And this word, get rid of, means to remove, to separate yourself from. It's like when you walk into a spider web, you know, and that spider web's on you, and especially if you don't like spiders, you know, and you're just like everything you can to get that spider web off you, and you're making sure that the spider's not on you, you know, and you're just frantically trying to get it off. That's the same idea of this word where Paul says, get that anger off of you. Get rid of it. Remove it. It is possible to be angry and not sin, but I know for myself, I know that if I really examine when I'm angry, examine why I'm angry, I would say probably 99% of the time, my anger is wrong, sinful anger. I'm not angry over some evil or some injustice being done. And while your percentage of sinful anger may not be as high as mine, I believe it's safe to say that your anger and the way you respond to it is also usually wrong. And so, as we think about how do I know if my anger is good or bad, I want to have us close this time and give you four different signs that kind of indicate to you whether the anger you're experiencing is good anger or bad anger, righteous anger or sinful anger. And these stem from some of the thoughts and writings from Wayne Mack. And our anger, the first sign of that our anger is sinful is when it is caused by selfishness. When anger is caused by selfishness, it is always sinful anger. And really you could say if our anger is for the wrong reason, if we're angry for the wrong reasons, you know, it's sinful anger. But I would say many times, if not most times, I'm angry simply because I did not get what I wanted. I did not get what I wanted. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 21, it's the story of King Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. Now, King Ahab was the king of Israel, and he was a wicked king. And he had, and Naboth had a vineyard that was near the palace. And so Naboth wanted it to use. So he says, and this is verse 2 of 1 Kings 21, says, Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked, why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat? He answered her, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. And Ahab was angry because he could not get the vineyard. Now his wife was, I think, even eviler than her, than him. And so she said, hey, I'll get you the vineyard. And she had Naboth killed and said, here's the vineyard for you. But he was angry because he did not get what he wanted. Andy Stanley writes, think about a time when you were really angry. Isn't it true that the entire situation could have been reduced to this simple idea? You wanted something and didn't get it. In other words, you didn't get what you were convinced you deserved. We get angry when we don't get what we want. When our plans are changed, we get annoyed. When we have certain things that we want to get done and something interferes with it, we get angry. Wayne Mack makes this statement. He says, the reason for much of our sinful anger is related to the fact that we have an agenda and someone or something is standing in the way of us fulfilling that agenda. The Bible says, don't be selfish. And so if I ask myself the question in those times when I'm feeling anger, why am I angry? It can help me determine if my anger is wrong. If I truly have been wronged, if a wrong has truly been done to me, or am I just angry because I didn't get something that I wanted, or someone or something has made something inconvenient for me, and so I'm angry. Selfish anger is always a sin. But a second sign that our anger is wrong is when we allow our anger to control us. The psalmist writes, don't sin by letting anger control you. And anger is not to control us. You know, and sometimes we see that anger has that control over us by our impulsive words and our actions. And then later on, we come back and say, I'm sorry, you know, I was just so angry, I just couldn't control myself. Sometimes we see that anger has that control over us and that we can't stop thinking about the situation. We keep playing it over and over again in our mind. It's all that we can think about. And we need to be careful about feeding our mind on the situation that has made us angry. Again, the Apostle Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The reality is that Satan wants you to keep thinking about that thing that has made you so angry. He wants you to stay angry. He wants you to let that just build up and feed upon that, where God wants you to let it go so that you're not tempted to fall into sin and do what's wrong. We realize, again, that anger has this control over us when it becomes this dominant feature of our life. And that's what happens as you keep feeding your mind upon this. You know, he says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know, you need to begin to deal with this situation. Because if we keep nursing this situation, it's just going to build and build, and it just builds up inside of us. And we become this angry person. And maybe you've seen people like that, or maybe you're like that, where people seem very touchy or irritable, or they're easily annoyed. There are people that you have to kind of walk on your tiptoes around. You know, if that's how people see you, it's probably a good indicator that you're an angry person, and that you have a problem with anger, with sinful anger having control over you. A quality that God wants to be producing in our life is self-control. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you are letting your anger control you, if your anger lasts too long, and if it's happening too frequently, if it's controlling your actions and thoughts, it's a sign that your anger is wrong, that it's a sinful anger. But a third sign that our anger is sinful is when we seek revenge. When we want to return evil for evil. When we want to get payback on the person that has caused us to be angry, that has hurt us. The Apostle Paul writes, never pay back evil with more evil. And here notice Paul says, don't pay back evil with more evil. He's acknowledging that, yeah, you've been wronged. Evil has occurred to you. He says, but even in that situation, it's not right for you to pay that back. Don't pay it back. He says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. If you are wanting to return evil for evil, if you are just bent on paying that person back and getting them back, and wanting revenge, it's a sign that your anger is a sinful anger. The Bible says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. The Apostle Paul says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And so if you're holding on to a grudge, if you're bent on that revenge, it's a sign that it's sinful anger. And we're going to talk more about this next week, but if you're holding that grudge, you're really hurting yourself. You're the one who is continuing to make yourself suffer over and over again. A fourth sign that our anger is sinful is when we attack or hurt an innocent bystander. Our anger is sinful when we attack or hurt an innocent bystander. When we take our anger out on someone or something that had nothing to do with why we are angry, it's a sign that our anger is sinful. Now, I was preparing for the big blizzard we had, 2 weeks ago. And I was feeling pretty good about myself and pretty proud, because I was trying to be on top of things. I mixed up a new gas and oil mix for the snowblower. The snowblower had just been running a couple weeks before that, so I knew that was all set. I was getting my generator out of the shed and bring it around the backyard to near my bulkhead and putting it under the deck so that if we had lost power, I'd be all set. I was going to start that thing up and get it running so there's no problems. And I couldn't get it started. and I'm trying and trying, and I can't get it started. I go back, I look at the manual, thinking I must be missing something here, and looks like I'm doing everything right, and I can't get the thing started. I call someone up. They say, you know, try this, do this. So I do what they say, and it starts for like 30 seconds, and then it stops. I must have been working on the thing for over an hour, and I could not get the thing to stay on more than 30 seconds. And I was getting angry, and I was frustrated, and I was mad. I go down my basement to either get something or take a break for a couple of minutes, and I was headed back out to try again. And Linda calls down from upstairs, and she says, is there anything I could do to help? Man, I was ready to yell at her. I just wanted to scream at her. I was so mad. And I'm thinking, and fortunately I didn't, because she had nothing to do with it. But sometimes we take our anger out on someone else. And I wasn't angry with her. I was angry that I couldn't get the generator started, and I was angry actually for years of being mechanically incompetent, and I can't get anything started or do anything that. And I was just mad. But when we take our anger out on someone that had nothing to do with the reason why we're angry, it's a sign that your anger is a sinful anger. How often does something happen at work or at school, whether with a person or a project, that makes us irritable, annoyed, frustrated, disappointed, and angry? And we come home and we take it out on our spouse, or we take it out on our children. How often is something bothering us? You know, something where we're just kind of stressed out about something. And then our kids do something. It's not really any big deal that they did anything really bad, but we just go off on them. If you are displaying anger towards someone who had nothing to do with why you are angry, it's a sign that it's sinful, that's wrong anger. Andy Stanley makes this statement. He says, more times than we care to admit, the shrapnel of our anger pierces those closest to us, loved ones who are innocent and clueless as to what has caused us to detonate in their presence. A heart filled with anger is looking for payback. Unfortunately, in most cases, it's our unsuspecting friends and family who are made to pay. So if your anger is caused by selfishness, if your anger has control over you, if you are bent on getting revenge, or if you're taking your anger out on someone who had nothing to do with why you're angry, it's wrong. It's sinful anger. It's the kind of anger that the Bible is referring to when it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. So if you are finding yourself angry, check under the hood. Ask yourself, what's going on here? Why am I angry? And determine, is this anger a good anger or is it bad anger? There's so much more to say about anger, and we're going to talk more next week and really focus in on how to deal with the anger that we are experiencing. How do I deal with that? But let me leave you this one thought, and it stems from something from Andy Stanley. You know, sometimes, especially working with youth, you see them acting in all different kinds of ways. And sometimes you think, what in the world are they doing? And why are they acting like that? And sometimes we see people, and you have seen people, who are just, they just seem angry, or they're mean, and they're doing some things, and you think, why would you do that? Then sometimes we get to hear their story. And we hear the story, and we hear some of the stuff that's going on, and some of the stuff that they're dealing with. Then we go, oh, I can see why they're acting the way they are. You know, you have a story, and I have a story. We all have a story. And your story may explain your behavior. But remember, your story does not excuse your behavior. Your story may explain your behavior, but it doesn't excuse your behavior. And so even when we're in the midst of our anger, if we are people who really desire to walk and follow with Jesus, I need to come before God and say, God, I need your help, because I want to honor you. Even those times, those things that get me angry, I want to make sure, even when I'm angry about the right things, I want to make sure that I am responding in a way that pleases you and honors you. Your story may explain your behavior, but it doesn't excuse your behavior. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the truths from your word. Thank you that your word teaches us about real life. and issues and things that we have to deal with in the real world. And Father, you know that anger is such a big issue for so many of us. And we struggle with it. And I ask that you would help us to have a heart that just such has a desire to come before you and say, God, I don't want to keep being angry. I don't want to be angry. And that we would come before you that even in the midst of those times of anger, saying, God, help me to respond in a way that pleases you, a way that honors you, a way that glorifies you. We need your help and we need your strength. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.